When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Has it ever been okay to wear blackface? It's obviously a terrible thing, but are there exceptions? I ask because I think I may have found one while reading the other night, and I can't stop thinking about it. For those of you who need a little background, blackface is a form of theatrical makeup that white performers have used throughout history to portray and demean black people. The dark substance white performers would put on their faces was typically shoe polish, grease paint, or burnt cork, and the end result was as ridiculous and off-putting as you might imagine. Performers in blackface mocked and ridiculed people of color. As the History Channel put it, white performers in blackface played characters that portrayed a range of negative stereotypes about African Americans, including being lazy, ignorant, superstitious, hypersexual, criminal, or cowardly. Nobody was putting on blackface to play the part of an ultra-intelligent aristocrat constantly outsmarting the people around him, or to play the hero who saved the day and got the girl. However you spin it, there's just no way to redeem blackface as an art form. And who would want to? It's an openly racist act of aggression against a marginalized people group, and it's not remotely funny. If you ever want to research this, you'll be surprised at what you find. The most jarring image for me was that of Shirley Temple, America's sweetheart of the 1930s, looking out innocently, if a bit beleaguered, through a face full of shoe polish. That something so insidious could ever be so ordinary is just shocking. But even Shirley Temple wasn't as shocking as this other, yet more famous example of blackface in American history. And I actually think you'll find it forgivable, if a bit misguided. In 1959, a middle-aged white man from Dallas, Texas, deliberately darkened his skin with stain and creams for the purpose of temporarily passing as a person of color. He underwent skin treatments with a dermatologist and sat under sun lamps for hours at a time to achieve this desired effect. He then, and I'm cringing here too, practiced what he believed to be, quote, an African-American accent in order to perfect his performance. And he did all of this why? To fight racism, of course. You see, none of this performance was intended for the stage. This was theater without the actual theater. In order to expose the systemic injustice and prejudice of American society, his name was John Howard Griffin, a journalist who often wrote about racial injustice and inequality. Frustrated with the lack of change in society, Griffin wanted to expose white America to itself from the other side of the color line, through the eyes of a fellow Caucasian. He wanted to bring white expectations and habits into the margins of society and have them thwarted and violated within the limits of the black experience. Griffin's disgust with racism had been fueled decades earlier by his time in Europe during World War II. Appalled by the anti-Semitism of the Axis powers, he joined the French resistance and helped smuggle Jewish children away from the Holocaust and into Great Britain. Following this experience, he became a journalist and committed his life to fighting the racist evils of his own country, which commitment ultimately led to the project he would be most remembered for. Having darkened his skin and shaved his hair, Griffin went undercover and became a shoeshiner in New Orleans. He tried to drink at white fountains and use white bathrooms. Even the simplest of conveniences were suddenly off limits. He said of his experience, quote,
"More than once I walked into a drugstore where a black man can buy cigarettes or anything else except soda fountain service. I asked politely where I might find a glass of water. Though they had water not 3 yards away, they carefully directed me to the nearest black cafe."
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, this was hardly a revelation to any American person of color, but it shook Griffin up. It's one thing to know of something, and another to experience it firsthand. One by one, he explored the social disadvantages of his adopted pigmentation in the attempt to critique and enlighten white America. Admittedly, this was a harebrained thing to do, as well as a minefield of potential faux pas. But Griffin's heart was in the right place. He wanted change, and this was the best way he knew to go about it. Granted, he was a journalist and was undoubtedly just as excited about the potential for good copy, but let's not be too cynical. Griffin knew his social experiment would also cost him personally, and to the end of his life, long after his skin had returned to its normal pigmentation, there were still many places in white society where it was unsafe for him to go. In 1964, just over a decade after the publication of his full expose called Black Like Me, Griffin was stranded with a flat tire in rural Mississippi when a group of white men approached him with what appeared to be tools to help him. They had something else in mind. They'd recognized the author from the television interviews and nearly beat him to death with chains, leaving him unconscious on the side of the road. Fortunately, he lived. But the recovery was a long one. His own hometown, Mansfield, Texas, also turned against him, and a dummy was made of him and publicly hanged in effigy. In his book, Griffin describes what he calls the, quote, hate stare, a look some whites give him when they're tired of being polite. He says of this hate stare, quote,
"Nothing can describe the withering horror of this. You feel lost, sick at heart before such an unmasked hatred. Not so much because it threatens you as because it shows humans in such an inhuman light. You see a kind of insanity, something so obscene. The very obscenity of it terrifies you. I felt like saying, what in God's name are you doing to yourself?"
As bad as Griffin had expected things to be, he was appalled at his experience. There were many white people who treated him with kindness and respect, but as often as not, he felt the hatred he described merely because of the color of his skin. One of the things he had not anticipated in his social experiment was the way he would be sexualized once people viewed him as a black man. Multiple times in the book, white men tried to engage him in sexual conversation, and one of them even asks to see his genitalia. They treat him as an object, a novelty, rather than as a man. Even 60 years later, Black Like Me is still worth reading. It's not perfect. There are times where it feels a bit contrived or patronizing, but it's a strange, interesting book and a brave experiment, and one that you should never, ever attempt yourself. But rather than nitpicking Griffin's methodology, we should appreciate his heart and his deep desire to combat the evils of society. He fought the Nazis in Europe, and he fought white supremacy at home, each in his own way, on his own terms. He was in some ways a resistance fighter to the end.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.